following is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Wednesdays on the Huge Radio Network are presented by the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can follow everything about high school sports 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. Wednesdays on the Huge Show are presented by the Michigan High School Athletic Association.
Are you ready for huge opinions on the Lions, Tigers, Wings, Pistons, Michigan, MSU, and every sports team in the state of Michigan? It's time for the Huge Show. From the east side to the west side to the UP, the Huge Show is on air statewide on the Michigan Sports Network. Voice your huge opinions now at 1-866-838-HUGE. That's 1-866-838-4843. Now, let's go to the Auto Value Bumper to Bumper Parts Studio with the huge one, Bill Simonson.
What's up, Michigan? It is our number one on a statewide Wednesday broadcast on the only show where the people have a voice. We're all about huge opinions. Big name guest in a moment, Mark Huell, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, will join us. We'll get the latest on the return to play at the high school level throughout this great state of Michigan. I'll also drop a huge opinion on the Tigers, and you can join in with your huge opinions at Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook, and also opt in on the Huge text chain. That means you can text the show anytime you want to. It's free. Just text the word HUGE to 21000. That is the word HUGE to 21000. Let's go welcome in Mark Huell, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. He joins us on the Metro Health Sports Medicine guest line. How you doing, Mark?
Good, Bill. Good to be with you.
All right. A lot's going on. Different messages coming from different college sports conferences, whether it's the Big Ten, Pac-12, SEC, MAC, a lot of information flying around. A lot of people saying, well, gosh, if a conference isn't going to play fall sports at the college level, there's no way they can play high school sports here in Michigan. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think there's some unique parts that we have at the high school level that is really a completely different dynamic than at the college level. At the high school level, things are incredibly local. Nothing happens at the collegiate level that that could be characterized as local. Even if you're going to have a conference-only schedule in the Big Ten, I mean, you're going all the way from New Jersey with Rutgers all the way out to Lincoln, Nebraska, and in every place in between, to where at our level, you've really got kids in their own communities. And if we're going to be able to compete with that local flavor of not having to travel 100-some-odd people on planes or in buses or in hotels and just all the logistical things that that come with moving a team. So certainly we're looking at what the college levels are doing. But as you know, you talked about in your opening, we'll just continue to take things slowly. You take it literally right now on a day-to-day and a week-to-week basis. And I think that you certainly have to pay attention to the college level, but we're also much different. I don't think that the college level made their decisions. For example, the MAC, who's already made the call, that was not strictly based on the medical information and data. That really became an economic decision, to where with all the conferences, the Power Five, going to conference-only scheduling, the MAC was really almost left without much of a schedule. And, of course, you know, those non-conference games that the MAC plays, well, they support and fund virtually every other sport within their athletic program. So you certainly have to look at the college level and pay attention and see what all of the reasons are. But, again, at the high school level, we're unique in which we are uber local. We are ultra local, and that's one of the reasons why I think, and as well as a lot of our member schools think, that we can do sports safely this fall.
Mark Huell, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, joining us on the Huell Show across Michigan, talking about the return to play and everything that's swirling around sports at all levels at this hour, the uncertainty and living day to day. It was interesting that the SEC boss, Greg Stanky, said their medical experts have told them they have the green light to play until they shut it down, and they're going to keep moving forward. I've told everybody that with so much information and disinformation that you need to rely on your doctor, the clinic you go to, medical professionals you know. And I know, Mark, from day one of this pandemic, when you had to shut down the winter championships in Michigan, you really have leaned on medical expert opinions to make sure kids are safe before you return to sports. So take me behind the scenes at the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Let's talk about who you lean on, who your executive council leans on when it comes to medical professionals.
Well, we're very lucky to where we have a sports medicine advisory committee that they meet on a regular basis, and we have our staff member, Kathy Westorp, coordinates the work of that group. And of course, Bill, Dr. K, who I know you guys are good friends, and he is often on your show. Well, Ed Cornelia is part of our sports medicine advisory committee. So we get some really good perspective and feedback from that group because they literally are on the front lines. They're the ones that probably as closely as anybody really follow the data. The second group that we really rely on, It's our Department of Health and Human Services. You know, we have had a conversation with Dr. Caldoun, who was our state medical chief medical officer, and then conversations with the 48 different health department heads, to where they're the ones that actively make those decisions when there are positive cases about that return. You know, the metrics that we get updated on every single day. And by the way, these are the same metrics that our state is using, you know, as they look to reopen schools and other things here later in August, is they really look at that percent of positive test rate. Ideally, they would love that number to be below a 3%. We understand that that is a key metric that they look at right now statewide. That number, you know, hovers right now about a 3.1%. Anywhere from a 3.3. There's parts of the state where it's below 3, and then other parts where that's a little bit higher. Certainly, you know, the daily cases are part of that metric. And then certainly hospitalizations and deaths, and thankfully those numbers continue to tread in a positive direction overall. Again, it's awful and tragic that, you know, we still have in our country people losing their lives to this awful virus, but when looking at it, you know, on a statewide basis, all those metrics do go into the equation. And then, you know, obviously, Bill, this has become a very politicized issue. And then there has to be, there is, like it or not, there's also a political slant on a lot of this, to where, you know, depending on, you know, your party affiliation or even personal beliefs, we have a lot of people out there that really have become very concerned about this and have been incredibly cautious with where they've been and who they interact with, to where then you've got folks on the other end of that spectrum, to where they just want things opened up and we need to move forward. And so, yeah, what's been, Bill, this was easier really back in March and April, to where I think all of us were really following the actual metrics much more closely. And it's just become really complicated because you really don't know what data is true data and what data might be misleading. And then again, here as we head toward November and an election season, you know, different points of view have entered into the equation as well, which really makes, you know, the decisions that are having to be made during this time are probably the most difficult and challenging circumstances of anything that I've certainly dealt with in my lifetime.
Well, it's easy to see. You get the governor's office, and rightfully so, with their opinion on return to play in fall sports or at fall sports locations throughout the state at Michigan high schools. You get the medical input from multiple locations, as you mentioned, across the state. You have superintendents, you have principals, you have coaches, you have officials, you have parents, you have student athletes, you have politicians. I mean, look at the list of input, Mark, that the Michigan High School Athletic Association has to take in while trying to navigate the best safe path for boys and girls to return to play this fall in terms of their teams at Michigan high schools. That's amazing.
It is. And then you also throw in the variable that we've got two parts of our state in one region of return to activity, and then we've got the rest of our state who's in a different phase of that plan going back. So, no, there are a number of challenges, and you just need to continue to balance all that each day. And as we've talked about often in our time together on the air, you just have to slow everything down and just take things one step at a time.
Well, and in the Grand Rapids region and Kent County, the numbers are dramatically dropping in terms of new cases and fatalities, and also the positive test rate. So I'll be curious, the way it's going the last couple of weeks, last 10 days in the Grand Rapids area, it's almost like Grand Rapids could see a possible move within a month, according to the plan laid out by the governor's office. They possibly could be in play by the 1st of September of going to phase five.
Absolutely. And that's why, again, I just don't think as much as everybody would love definite answers and decisions of, well, this is what things will be, this is what things will look like in September and October, and I just my crystal ball doesn't work that well, Bill. You just have to slow down and literally take things in 1 week increments.
I thought the SEC commissioner on the Dan Patrick show was as calm, cool, and collective. And really, when I was listening to him talk, Greg Stanky, the SEC, about football, and they're going to keep going. Their medical experts say it's okay right now, and they won't stop until they tell them to. It really reminded me, Mark, of what you've done, and you're not overreacting every hour, every day. And you have your plan, which, by the way, let's update that for everybody. You're going to have a representation council meeting on August 20th, correct?
Yeah, it's certainly prior to that. So really, I think you can, the easiest way and the quickest way to explain it is football activity started on Monday. So this week, the only personal equipment that kids can have are helmets. So it's t-shirts. Kind of an acclimatization period to get kids ready to get back to football activity. So that's going to go on here all week. And, of course, we do have two sports that are going to have some challenges, and that's volleyball and that's girls swimming. Currently, the indoor facilities, school gyms, school weight rooms, school swimming pools remain closed under the governor's order in, you know, the six regions that are not yet in phase five. So what our volleyball teams and swim teams are going to be doing over the rest of the week here is finding an outdoor location where they can practice. So for swimmers, that might mean dry land training, or for those swim programs that are able to connect with an outdoor pool at a country club or some other venue, they'll be able to get kids in the water. And then our volleyball teams, maybe it is conditioning and dry land training. And then maybe there's a sand volleyball court somewhere in their community where they can get started. So our conversations with the governor's office is we do believe that clarification and more guidance about the opening of those indoor facilities should be coming very, very soon, because obviously, our government leadership needs to do something here shortly with school facilities, because we have some schools that are actually opening classes and kids already next week during the week of the 17th. So that's where we're currently at. And then for our three team sports, volleyball, soccer, and football, we'll make some decisions by August 20th regarding competition schedules. That could mean, Bill, that we'll move forward as scheduled. That could mean that we're going to need to pause or delay or push things back. Or it could even potentially be that, as the landscape continues to change, that we can't compete this fall, and we'll now look for another time in the school year where we can hopefully find a window of opportunity. So we're in contact with our board on a daily basis, but by the 20th, and I'm hoping it's going to be earlier and before the 20th than actually on the 20th, that we'll have some more guidance and direction for everybody based on how, again, I want to see the data and how the trends are going. As much as I love what's going on in other states and at other levels, but I want to see how this first week with football kids in helmets, how that has gone. I want to hear about how those first few days of practice are going, and then you know, we look at what next week brings, and again, leading up to that decision by the 20th. So that's our plan right now, and we'll just keep moving forward.
Yeah, I would think you'd want the week to run with these teams doing workouts and football with no hitting or pads and just helmets, and then digest it over the weekend, and I assume get with your executive team and your representation or representative council, and Monday maybe try and figure out where you're going so those high school teams will know if they can shift into pads and hitting, correct?
Yep, absolutely. And the nice thing, you know, there are times where my hair gets awfully gray by some of the things that I read in the world of social media or on the internet that are absolutely false, untrue, and maddening. But that is the one advantage, Bill, that we do have, is in this age of instant communication, is you can make some decisions and communicate with virtually everybody that you need to connect with here within an hour of some decisions being made. So because of that, I think, you know, you just like a good hitter, if you want to watch that pitch as long as you can, you know, as deep as that ball can get before you decide whether or not to swing. And we're kind of taking that same philosophy here of trying to get as many data points and as much feedback as we can. And then when decisions are made, we communicate as quickly as we can using all the means that we have.
So football teams, the soccer teams, the volleyball, the high-risk sports, as you stated in July in your last report, they cannot hit, they can't go full bore on practice yet, correct?
Correct. So football we kind of handle as its own sport, and we've already done that for years with some of our rules because obviously with pads and equipment, so football is really kind of on its own track this week, helmets only, and then we'll look to add equipment next week. And then with volleyball and soccer, we're not allowing any competition until at least that decision comes on August the 20th. So they can practice, they can do all the intra-squad things that they want, but we want to see how volleyball, of course, once we're able to get inside the facilities in soccer, can begin to practice, but in terms of when games may or may not start, more guidance to come by the 20th.
What about the Ohio model that they're saying the governor of Ohio will approve, that they're looking at a shortened six-game regular season, basically just playing their conference games? How do you like that model? Are there other models you've seen in the neighboring states, Indiana? I know Illinois pushed their high school football to the spring. Wisconsin maybe to the north with the UP. Any models you see right now that you think, if best case scenario obviously would be you could play all your games, but a model if you have to adjust that you like?
So for the regular season, you know, you'd love to be able to get kids a 9-week experience like we have scheduled, and then some sort of a tournament experience at the end of the year. You know, Ohio, the reason they shortened their season, Bill, is the guidance from their governor was you want to try and get your season completed as early as possible, because, of course, there are concerns that once we get into late October and November with the start of our normal flu season, that combination of the flu season along with continuing to battle COVID could provide tremendously challenging. So I do know some of the reasons for that, but by that same token, maybe our tournament looks different this year than it ever has before if we're able to do that in the fall. You know, the key with football is right now all teams aren't in our tournament. You have to qualify to get into the playoffs. Well, now if you have, you know, teams that would have to pause or suspend for a week or two, and you know, now are you creating a climate to where you would have schools being as honest and transparent about positive cases or a possible confirmation of a positive COVID test? You want to try and eliminate those barriers as you can, and maybe that tournament experience at the end that, that maybe you don't have to win a certain number of games or qualify based on your playoff points to get into some kind of a postseason tournament. That's something that we've got to talk about a lot more with our board. Our entire focus, it's been how can we get the regular season started safely first, and then the back end of our season, what our postseason tournament could look like. That will just have to be a work in progress if we're going to make some tweaks and changes.
Yeah, Ohio, with their shortened season plan, if there is a season, it would begin here in 2 weeks on August 24th. And then the first Friday night of the season would be August 28th. The regular season would end September 28th. The playoffs in Ohio, if this is approved, would begin October 9th, and the state championships would be played no later than November 21st. And all schools that decide to play, as you mentioned, will make the playoffs. So, you know, that gives you six games to get ready, and then everybody has a shot. I kind of like that plan. I think the kids deserve it, and all the seniors can say they went to the playoffs their senior year, right?
There you go.
Right?
T-shirts for everybody. And the other thing that I understand with the Ohio plan is after if you would get eliminated from the tournament in early to mid-October and you still then wanted to finish up with another game or two that you would schedule against somebody else that was knocked out of the tournament, you could do so.
That's
so
awesome.
It does give you some flexibility to, after you've been eliminated, okay, we can schedule a game with our crosstown rival, and it'll be, you know, that game where all of our seniors will finish their career. So that's kind of an interesting plan here during these strange times.
Yeah, and you could also do the same thing if you get to the high risk, you know, volleyball, lacrosse, whatever you categorize as high risk. And they could play their conference schedule, and then they also could go into a state tournament. And if they're knocked out early, they could do the same thing and have up to, you know, 3-4 additional games they could schedule before the end of October. I love that.
Yep, a lot of flexibility. And, yeah, in all of our sports except football, schools are able to do that now. And, again, we'll keep communicating with our board in terms of, you know, what the back end of the football season might look like.
Mark Huell, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, joining us here on the Huell Show across Michigan with an update on the return to play in fall sports at Michigan high schools. You can follow the Michigan High School Athletic Association 24/7, MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, MHSAA on Facebook, and also don't forget archive boys and girls sports. Available 24/7 at MHSAA.tv. Mark, we'll talk about the return to school element. Your letter, your open letter, which has been well received from last Friday, and how whether a school is back in terms of face-to-face learning or online learning, and how that comes into play with your decision-making, and also parents and school decision-making when it comes to sports. Lansing kids protested earlier this week. They want to play their sports, so a lot going on. We'll continue our conversation with Mark Huell after this network TO.
From Kalamazoo to Midland, this show is huge.
We have batteries, brakes, mufflers, and more at your auto value. Parts store,
where service is the difference. We
That's right. Whatever you're driving, your neighborhood Auto Value Auto Parts store has you covered. And whatever project you're working on, our friendly, knowledgeable staff will help you get the job done right. From headlights to tailpipes, we've got the parts you need at prices you can afford. Save this month on Turtle Wax Ceramic Detail Spray, just $13.99. Pick up WD-40 with the Easy Reach Flex Draw for only $10.99. And Curt 2-inch hitch balls are Auto Value priced at just $8.99. Shop online at MyAutoValueStore.com. Get 20% off orders of $100 or more with coupon code SUMMER20. That's Auto Value, where service is the difference. We get it.
We have batteries, brakes, mufflers, and more at your Auto Value. Parts store, where service
service is the difference.
We get it.
Huge here for the incredible Tullymore Golf Resort. Now, they're located in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, which is less than an hour north of GR, a couple hours from Detroit, maybe an hour and a half if you're coming down from Traverse City. It's accessible to everybody listening right now, and it's one of America's top public golf resorts. They offer two 18-hole layouts, Tullymore and St. Ives. They have fantastic stay-and-play packages, like the Sizzle and Summer deal that includes a prime rib dinner. Go to TullymoreGolf.com, book that stay and play package, mention the Huge Show, and you could save at TullymoreGolf.com. Also, check out the lodge. It holds 24 people if you want to have the ultimate stay and play getaway when it comes to golf and also after your round. They offer fine dining to great sandwiches and more. See it for yourself at TullymoreGolf.com. That is TullymoreGolf.com, the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
We are back on The Huge Show across Michigan. It is a MHSAA Wednesday presented by the Michigan High School Athletic Association as we originate from the Auto Value Bumper to Bumper Parts Store Studios. You can order up any part or accessory for your car, truck, SUV, you name it, boat, ATV, and more. You can order at MyAutoValueStore.com, have it shipped to your home, cottage, business, or anywhere in the U.S. Or when you order at MyAutoValueStore.com, you can pick it up at your local Auto Value Bumper to Bumper Parts Store here in Michigan. Service is the difference, and they get it at your local Auto Value Bumper to Bumper Parts Store. And they're a Michigan company, so the money you spend at your Auto Value Store and your Auto Value Service Center will stay right here in our state. Let's continue our conversation with Mark Ewell, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, still navigating COVID-19, the return to play in the fall, trying to keep moving forward, putting the health and safety of boys and girls and faculty and coaches and officials across this state first as they come up with plans that are fluid and almost ever-changing. So, Mark, for a parent listening right now, and I know I've had, you know, by Friday here, the final decision, is it a hybrid? Is it online learning for the semester? Is it a combo of both? A lot of decisions, and I know a lot of parents come to me and say, okay, well, if my kid is going to do online learning and they're not going to school, will they still be allowed to play high school sports this fall?
And that's a great question. You know, the biggest way that I've been able to answer that is, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, our kids are going to be playing sports this fall, period. Whether that is for us in the school sports space, and if we're not able to offer any programs this fall, then kids and families are going to go find activity. And the one thing that I believe with all of my being is that kids are going to be safest this fall in athletics in a school sports environment. We're the ones that have, in many cases, professional educators, and if we do have some lay people that aren't teachers, they're folks that have gone through our coaches' advancement program to where we have the right perspective. We have the right focus that our programs at the high school level, it's really about kids first, and it's meeting the needs of those kids first to where there is not a financial incentive for our coaches that that coach in the school space. There are a number of quality people that coach non-school sports, club, travel, AAU. There are a ton of quality people in all of those environments, but I firmly believe that our kids are going to be safest with us because, one, we've spelled out all the return to activity procedures and protocols, and, two, we have accountability. We have athletic directors who are accountable to principals and principals who are accountable to superintendents and superintendents who are accountable to their boards of education. Unfortunately, in the non-school space, there isn't that accountability. There isn't that organization. None of these groups have their own sports medicine advisory committee. So I know that under normal times, Bill, the optics of a school actually having sports but starting the year all online would be something under normal times we would say, well, that just doesn't seem right. And I think what I would advocate for is since last March, there has been nothing in our kids' lives that has been normal. For schools to start all online here in the fall, very abnormal for all of our kids. And from what I understand is a lot of the online education this fall is going to look differently in the spring because districts have had time to plan, and it's going to look a lot different. Well, I know from all the mental health research that we get on almost a daily basis, kids need some thread of normalcy. And during these strange and uncertain times, if that means that one thread is being on my school athletic team, then I think that is actually a good thing and not a negative. And I've had a lot of school superintendents tell me that, Mark, you know, based on a number of factors, we have to start our school year all online with all virtual education. But you know what? We really think that we can learn some lessons with us first bringing kids back to campus through athletics, because you've already got small defined groups of kids by team. The JV soccer players aren't mixing with your girls golfers or with the JV boys tennis team or with the freshman football kids. You've got the same group of students back on campus together every day with the same adults in charge. And now if you do have a positive case, it's much easier to trace and to do what you have to do based on health department guidance than if you had literally 800 kids in a typical size high school all in the hallways together during the school day. So, yes, under normal circumstances, how can you have sports when you're not starting school face-to-face? But I'm hearing from more and more districts that this is a safe way to get kids back to activity, a safe way to really address some mental health issues of giving them one norm in their life. And the other thing, Bill, is I'm sorry, our most at-risk kids who are now going to be asked to starting a school year completely virtually, we're going to lose those kids. And if we can't give them one structured activity right now, and if that's a fall athletic team, and if that's going to help, especially our kids who are most at risk, I'm all in. The fact of the matter is those from the affluent communities are going to be able to afford the support they need for their kids to do online education during the day, and then they're going to have the means to go find the non-school sports in the evenings and on the weekends. But it's those kids from our most at-risk places. I'm telling you what, if no face-to-face school means no face-to-face sports in some of these districts, I think we're really shortchanging a lot of kids, especially those that need our programs the most.
Mark Huell, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, joining us here on the Huell Show across Michigan. Mark, after listening to your response to my previous question, it really makes a great point that, okay, some will say, well, if you're not going to have face-to-face learning and kids have to go to school online, how do you let them play sports? Well, a couple of things. Those athletes are only going to be around a few adults and their teammates compared to being around a school that could be anywhere from 400 to 3,000, right?
Absolutely.
Right, so yeah, now you're going to limit you're going to limit the exposure of the kids and the adults and the risk on the coaches, on a trainer, on whoever is there part of a freshman JV or varsity team at a Michigan high school. And I think that will answer a question for superintendents, for principals, for coaches, for parents, for those who are against, well, if you're not going to have online learning, like Lansing, they canceled their fall sports, all extracurricular activities, which I think was a huge mistake. And their players have protested earlier this week. But those kids need something. I mean, I've told my kids, okay, and I've listened to them, they don't want to wear the mask. They don't want to wear a mask for 7 hours. They don't. They don't want to wear a mask for 7 hours. That is the biggest, and I've never heard my children speak with passion of not wanting to wear a mask for 7 hours. Us walking into a restaurant, into Meijer, a convenience store, sitting down I don't know how you're going to keep a mask on for 6 to 7 hours a day. I just don't. And my kids are really pushing back. So, you know, we need to make the final decision by Friday at the end of business on what they're going to do for the upcoming year. Because if you commit to online, yeah, in our school district, you have to go the entire semester, even if things change, which I'm kind of peeved about that if it got better, what, you committed because you have a contract with a company? You know, that really bothers me. But don't get me going on education, because I'll stand up and do a two-hour dissertation. So I think the school districts, though, away from that, are doing a great job of balancing this. How many districts have said no sports? I know there are districts that have said no face-to-face, but how many districts have contacted your office in Lansing and said that we're not doing any sports or extracurricular activities this fall?
It's less than a handful, Bill. So I know of two specific ones, and you know we've already mentioned Lansing being one. I heard of a single school yesterday that opted out, and we might have more that do opt out. But I think, you know, part of why we wanted to get that perspective out last Friday is, as I think a lot of districts are really trying to work through these unprecedented times. And okay, what does our return to school look like, and how can sports fit into this? And we thought it was important just to give them that other perspective that, yeah, normal times, always it's school has to come before sports. But you know what? We don't really have a lot of ways to gain some experience here for how to restart school the right way. And I'm telling you, by the nature of athletics, you've already got kids in defined small groups, and there really are some lessons to be learned that schools could learn over the first month of athletics, and then really implement those as they open up their buildings to face-to-face education later in the fall.
Yeah, it's still the fluid situation, the word we've used talking together on and off air since March. And I think sports are important. And I believe your toughest decision here in the next week probably will be those contact sports. And what do you do? I mentioned that Illinois pushed them to the spring, which would be what, lacrosse, volleyball, and football, correct? In Illinois high schools?
Soccer, football, and volleyball are moving to next March.
All right, there's soccer, football, and volleyball. Okay, yeah, soccer, football, and volleyball. Is girls lacrosse in the fall, or is boys lacrosse in the spring?
Both lacrosses are spring sports.
Oh, they are? Okay. All right.
Yep.
All right, cool. I didn't know that. So, all right, so you got both lacrosses will be in spring, and you have football, volleyball, and soccer. So at that decision is probably in the next week or so for Michigan high school administrators, coaches, parents, and student athletes. Would you say? Would you be your guess?
Absolutely. That's kind of the timeline that we're looking at. And of those three, each one has a little bit of a unique set of circumstances. You know, football is the full contact sport in the fall, and yes, you're outdoors, but you know, football is a full contact sport, so that has its challenges. Soccer, while not a full contact sport, there are many times where you get two kids that are going to make a play on a ball, and they're going to be in close quarters, and in some cases probably even closer than you can in football, because at least there you've got the equipment that does create at least a little bit of separation, especially for those schools that have invested into the face shields on the helmet. And then, of course, you know, the challenges with volleyball is the fact that the nature of the sport of volleyball isn't the problem. It's because it's played indoors. And right now, all of the health experts have a much higher level of heartburn about indoor activity versus outdoor. So those are three that we're going to have to make some decisions on here soon. Each has their own unique set of issues and problems. And more news and guidance to come on each of those three.
I would think early next week, when practices need to begin, scrimmaging, all the different things that they need, football with pads to get ready for the season. I would think Monday would be a good day for that announcement at some point on Monday. from your office, Mark. That gives you, like you said, the week of all the kids back, and you can look at any potential COVID-19 outbreaks. You can get feedback from coaches. You can digest it and announce something Monday that then people know here's the plan for the fall.
Yeah, there's still a lot of moving parts, both in front of and behind the curtain. And, you know, literally on the football side, we're just taking things a day at a time. And, you know, in a perfect world, if we can have more guidance and direction yet this week on Thursday and Friday, so everybody can kind of retool or focus on exactly what next week is going to look like, that would be ideal. But, you know, we can only move sometimes as fast as we get information and direction from our elected and state health department leaders. So I know if I had a nickel for every time I said we're going to take things on a literally on a day-to-day basis, week-to-week basis, I'd be a very wealthy man. But that will continue to be our game plan here moving ahead.
Your executive council, that meeting where those decisions could be finalized, quick answer on that. When's that due to happen?
So we haven't yet set the date. And right now, when we so our council, it's 19 members, and of course, the biggest challenge of our 19 board members is I have one representative up in Copper Country, up in the Houghton Hancock area, and then we have another board member who is down literally at the state line, just north of Toledo, at Whiteford High School down there in Ottawa Lake. So what we do with our board is, yeah, we're meeting virtually, and that has really nothing to do with any concerns about getting people together. We feel like we can meet with our board safely. The reason that we are meeting virtually is we're right now meeting more often than we ever have. We can schedule those very, very quickly if they are virtual meetings, and now we're not having to bring folks in together from hundreds of miles away. That has been the one blessing here of Zoom and virtual meetings, that we can convene our board very, very quickly. All of them bring a perspective of what their districts are planning to do to start the school year and athletic year, what other schools and their conferences in areas and ISDs are planning. So in terms of our information network, we're very blessed to be able to communicate with our board and to be able to do it very, very quickly.
Mark Huell, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, joining us on the Metro Health Sports Medicine Guest Line.
Opt in to the Huge text chain. Text HUGE to 21,000.
Van Andel Institute began with the vision to improve the health and enhance the lives of current and future generations. Located in Grand Rapids, VAI strives daily to bring together the best ideas from around the globe to achieve transformational breakthroughs in science and education. VAI scientists work urgently to study diseases like cancer and Parkinson's, and its K-12 and graduate education programs empower students and teachers to solve the challenges facing our world. Learn more at VAI.org.
It's easy to get all the best groceries in town in one trip when you shop at Meijer. Find everything your family needs, from fresh produce to everyday products, at low Meijer prices. Save with weekly deals going on now, like family pack boneless, skinless chicken breasts, only $1.88 per pound. And Meijer vitamins or supplements are buy one, get one free. Get all the things you love for all the people you love, all in one place. At Meijer. Some exclusions apply. See all the deals in the Meijer app.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
Back on a Wednesday edition of the Huge Show, presented by the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan at MHSAA on Twitter, MHSAA.com online, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you want to drop a comment about today's conversation, text the word HUGE to 21,000. That's the word HUGE to 21,000. And if you missed any of my conversation with Mark Huell, you can hear it on your schedule at thehugeshow.net. Also, let any coaches or parents or student athletes in the state of Michigan know the conversation with Mark Yule about the return of high school sports this fall in Michigan is available for free 24/7 at thehugeshow.net. Again, just log on, listen on your schedule to all podcasts at thehugeshow.net.
Big, bad, huge.